Well, hello, and welcome to Watch What Crappens, the podcast for all that crap we just love to talk about on Yale Profs. It's me, Ronnie Karam, and over there is Ben Mandelker. Hi, Ben.
Hi, Ronnie. What's up?
How you doing, baby?
Oh, you know, it's Monday, just starting the week, you know, ready to embrace Halloween week, I guess. So there's that.
Oh, girl.
I'm excited.
I'm in the suburbs now. These people... I mean, my God, there's like, hey, what are we doing for Halloween? I say we have adult tables on our lawns and then we address the kids and then we can catch up with each other. And I'm like, what the fuck is this?
That sounds
awful.
Who
are you people? I don't want you coming onto my lawn. I don't even have a folding table.
That's awful. Not going to do that. Not for sure.
What the hell? So I'm going to just sit on my porch and, you know, freeze some Milky Ways so they get really hard, those little mini ones, and then just slingshot them at little kids' heads. I think that,
oh,
you know,
I love that.
If you want to get to know me as your neighbor, get to know me. All right, let's do it the right way.
Yes.
Everybody, welcome to the show today. Today is Real Housewives of Potomac Day. Very excited about it.
Very, very exciting. Great season. Great show.
Even though our favorite character, Baby Dean, was not in this episode at all. Wah, wah. Wham. I'll tell you what I think about politics. I vote for the milk party. Wham, wham. Wham, wham.
I vote for the donut-shaped plastic toy that I like to put in my mouth. Wham, wham.
I vote that whoever the new Supreme Court justice is, she needs to sit in a chair that bounces up and down. Wham, 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 wham.
I say that whoever's going to be president of this country better be super fuzzy, like the bunny in the book that me mommy gives me, and I touch it, and I like it.
I cannot know who to vote for president unless I taste their ear, all right?
My cabinet, if I were running for president, my cabinet would consist of a little airplane, a little elephant, a little bumblebee, and a little ladybug, all featured on the mobile above my crib. Wah, wah. We're great friends. We have a great working relationship.
Yeah, it's politics day on Potomac, because Wendy's educated and really smart, wants everybody to know about voting. Listen, if you want to keep my attention, do not talk about voting for anything, okay? That's when I check out. Thankfully, it's a housewife show, so it's only, you know, it's actually about important issues that adults should care about for about 2 seconds before it gets into, hey, who are we going to be mean to this week?
Yeah, before Candace... Candace has a scene with Karen, you know, and distracts everyone with feathered shoes going down a staircase.
Yeah. Okay, so we open at a jewelry shop, and Giselle comes in dressed like a Muppet. I don't know if Cookie Monster gets discounts at this jewelry shop or what, but she's in a full-on blue fur.
He went to Cookie Monster.
I want this ring to have 10 carat chips, chocolate chips.
We knew that this was going to be a place that Giselle would like to go to because the walls were that hideous purple that is echoed in her living room and all over her hideous house. I was like, oh, she chose this jeweler based solely on the wall decor, didn't she?
See, it's not just me, yeah. So we're greeted by Kara, who's just the happiest jeweler you've ever seen. She's like, nice to meet you. If there's something you'd like to see up close, just let me know, or I'm going to be on you the whole time.
I'm Kara. So Giselle starts talking about how, like, being in the jewelry store is making her think about Jamal, and she's like, the trajectory of our relationship is, yes, marriage. Even though trajectory is not really a word or a word in this context, but that is what our trajectory is.
Yeah, this is when I turned on closed captioning because I was like, I must have heard that wrong. But I didn't. It was trajectory. So things you throw. She's like, you know, which makes sense in the context of their marriage.
Yeah, it's her life and her goals and her plans and her future and her happiness all being thrown towards Jamal.
So she says if a diamond was 5 carat the first time, then the second time it needs to be 10. Nah, double for her trouble.
So, I feel like she just goes around and says that everywhere.
Yeah,
like,
she's got a point. You know,
are these red bell peppers on sale? Double for my trouble. Like, ma'am, you didn't have any trouble. You just walked in the door. Double for my trouble.
So Juan is there because, of course, Juan is, you know, this is the marriage storyline for Juan, and super excited to be there as ever. Charismatic Juan comes in and he's like, "You're already looking, huh? Where's the rubber band section? Someone point me to that. Any hair ties for sale? Preferably sparkly ones."
How do we feel about twisty ties that come like a garbage bag? We put those around a ring and finger. You know what? You ever see, I don't know if you've seen this around your neighborhood or in Austin, but like Uber Eats and Postmates have this new high-tech service where there are these like autonomous carts that deliver your food. Have you seen those?
LOL, no. I'd love to see them take on the Texas roads. It's not like LA where Whole Foods is right down the block. This would be like 20 miles.
Yeah, because you'll be like driving down La Brea and then you'll see what looks like a little cart. And it's just like driving itself on the sidewalk and it like stops at the intersection and it's just like motoring along and it's got like someone's lunch in it and it's just like driving somewhere. And it just like, it's just there. It's like adorable, but also kind of scary. It's like an autonomous cart, just like, it's a robot on its way with your lunch. And sometimes I feel like that's what Juan is. Sometimes when Juan comes like into a scene, he's just like on wheels, like kind of checked out, just doing what he has to do. Just like, like adorable, but also like, is there like,
yeah,
are you just a robot?
Yeah, he's just pre-programmed. They're like, wait a minute, why is Juan carrying way too big a bag of McDonald's? They're like, oh, because he's doing Postmates today and people feel guilty just ordering one hamburger, so they order 10 to make it worth it.
Oh, he's so on his way driving to Ronnie's Postmates house. He's driving Postmates. No, he's not driving. He's actually just a Postmates robot. He arrives at the restaurant and they open a latch and they put the meal in him.
I love that. I thought that they were going to do drones. I read last year that Amazon was going to start using drones for delivery and they just hook shit to a drone and then it would be like,
no,
like a Jetsons car down to your house and just drop your shit off at your door.
They were talking about that, but where we are right now is little carts that look like toilets just trundling down the street.
I thought that they had started drones because for anyone who hasn't heard us lately, we both got a Ring camera, and so we think we're just like obsessed with Ring cameras now. And mine is set up kind of sideways, so not sideways, but it gets your profile when you come to the front door, not the front of your face. And so people see that there's a Ring camera, so they try to avoid the Ring camera. I don't know why. I don't know what they think is going to be done with that footage, but I don't even know when something's delivered anymore because it's like they're ducking the camera to get past it. People really have issues with the Ring camera. So you know what? Bring on the drones. Bring on the little carts.
Send in the drones.
Send in the carts.
Anyways, the point is this. Juan may have my burrito that I'm ordering for lunch today. So Robin, meanwhile, is... We see this, like, we cut away randomly to Robin, and she's shooting a promo spot for Embellish. And she's like, oh, you made me mess up. And then we see it's just like her kid shooting her promo spot. I was like, that's so Robin.
Yeah. And then we cut back, and Giselle's like, she likes that Morganite stone. That means eternal life. So if we could see a band put to Morganite, Morganite, Morganite stone, Morganite. Ah.
You don't touch the Morganite rings.
And so she's like, well, so the Morganite ring is like $59,000. And Juan's like, do you have anything that's like $5? I'm a cart. How much money do you think I have? Can we just move it down a little bit? Thanks.
And the shady jeweler is like, we can do 8 to 10. Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay, poor person.
Yeah, she's very like, sure. She says it for so long that it's like a bomb dropping. Like, you just hear your pride being decimated.
Sure. And then... And she comes back with one that's like $89.50, and I always think it's so funny. I mean, of course she starts with the $59,000 one, and it's like, not that $89.50 is cheap by any means, but like, it's a hell of a lot cheaper than $59,000. Oh yeah, yeah, of course we have something like this. Like, well, why don't you start with something reasonable, ma'am? You're being crazy.
Listen, if you're going to spend that much money marrying someone who's already cheated on you, you better put a Find My iPhone chip in their head. Okay, that's the only thing I want to be seen having money spent on it.
Well, the Postmates app is actually very advanced, and so you can actually track your order. So Robin can just turn that on.
No, but only while you're ordering. Like, if you want to tell them after, like, you suck. You forgot my fries, idiot. Which I would never do. Then you can't, because it's like they disappear into the ether. It's like, I was yours, but only for a moment.
Yeah, I remember the first time I discovered that concept. I took a Lyft, and this lady, the Lyft driver, had like beef stew in the front seat because she was bringing it to her mom. And then her mom called, and she's like, "Mom, I got the beef stew. I'm bringing the beef stew, okay? No, Mom, I got the beef stew." But she was like amazing, this woman, and we talked about beef stew the entire time. And then afterwards, I like texted her to say, "I just want to say that was the most amazing ride, and I hope your beef stew turns out amazingly." And then like Lyft was like, "I'm sorry, is this a concern for the customer support?" And I was like, "Oh my god, she's gone. I'll never see her again."
Yeah, you just got cut off. Like, your whole relationship's gone now.
Yeah.
Oh well. Okay, so then we see like this cute little bird that doesn't even do any dances. And now that I've seen that nature show with birds dancing, like, I hate birds that have no talent. I'm like, you are so talentless. Could you do something? I just saw like three birds in a choreographed dance on our planet. So make an effort, bird.
Yeah, yeah. Be better. Okay. So then we see we're at Monique's place, and she's with Pearl, who is actually Chris's godfather. And his name was Pearl, right? I'm not making
that
up.
His name is Pearl Mary. Hi, Mary. Welcome home. I just wanted to see Pearl from 227 hanging out the window. I know. That's the only Pearl that I know.
I would love it if this Pearl just had his own like window frame that he just carried around and just stuck his elbows out of. It was like attached to him. So she's working on her podcast. And her ticket sales are terrible, and so she's called in Pearl to help with to help her set up and everything. And Monique's basically at that point where we've mentioned this on another episode, but she's at that point where we were when we started, which is that we had no idea what we were doing. And she's like making a million gift bags for her entire audience. And we used to do that before the show. We used to do all these gift bags. We're like, we need to give them everything. We need to give them everything. We were so like, nervous that like people would hate us. And so we would spend hours putting together, like assembling gift bags and all that stuff. It was like madness.
And, well, I definitely see why hers cost $200,000 or whatever to put on. Jesus Christ. Now, we definitely know about people not buying tickets. You know, that happens sometimes. And what we've learned is you just learn from Real Housewives shows. So if you have a huge bill that you can't pay, just do your show, eat all the food, just order all the food you can, all the drinks you can. And then at the end, say, "I need you to send this bill to P.K. Kemsley, address Jennifer Lopez's old house."
AKA Tyler Hartley's old house too. It really makes
sense. Oh yeah, no, that was his new old house. Yeah, you're right. Jennifer Lopez's old house was her last old house. Now this new farmhouse that's gonna be her old house was also the guy from This Is Us, yeah.
Wait, they're moving out of the farmhouse?
Yeah. They move every year. It's something to do with taxes.
Something to do with breaking the law. I don't know. So
they're the worst bandits ever. They just they just go on the run from one neighborhood to another.
The Democrats are speaking. Our last neighborhood didn't have sidewalks, and this one does. How will they ever recognize us?
Next season, she's gonna do the entire season with like a little mustache and glasses. More wheat. So, anyway, the point is this, Monique is like making a million gift bags with like a million things in them. She's got like books and all the swag. She's just got like way too much. Like, girl, it's you. Just do your show. And so she's just like talking about how, Pearl is like a guy, he's like a pastor, but he's also a guy that they call whenever they need help. And, you know, he really grounds Monique and really helps her get over things in life, you know?
Yeah, so she's talking about the fight and how she felt guilty finally, but it took her a long time to even feel bad. And he's like, "Yeah, it's like boxing. You don't know when you're hurt." And I was like, don't bring up boxing right now. Bad timing. And she's like, "Yeah, you know, I wanted to call Candace and tell her that I'm sorry, but now I can't because, you know, she pressed charges. And so legally I can't call her. But I really want the girls to see that I'm growing. So that I'm inviting them to my show as seat fillers."
Yeah, exactly. I really want them to. I want them to see how much I've grown in the past 10 days by making them take time out of their lives to come to an event that I'm throwing. That will probably be pretty annoying for them.
Yeah. So that's pretty much that. So she starts calling the girls, and she calls Robin first. And she's like, well, first of all, I'm just calling to say hey. It's like, oh, right, Morganite. And Monique's like, well, actually, I'm doing a podcast about redefining yourself, possibly with essential oils. That's a spoiler alert. And I would love if you would come, you know, because I did something that wasn't right. And I want you to see the work that I've done. It's all contained in a gift bag.
I know the work that you've done. Robin's like, oh, let me think about it. Not because I'm afraid of you, more because your event sounds terrible. And that's just something that hasn't changed.
I really want to believe she's changed for the better, but I don't know what to do.
So then Monique calls Karen to invite her, and Karen's like, absolutely, I'll be in the audience, absolutely, being a great friend who doesn't take sides, calling security, and all the audience members asking me for autographs, and no, I can't go up on stage, no, of course not, please don't invite me, of course, sure, okay, I'll be a guest as well, sure, you want me to, I'll host it, thank you, Monique.
So then Wendy is next on the call list, and she's like, last I spoke to you, you didn't have any remorse, so I would be a really fucked up person if I came and supported if I know that somebody was hurt. And she's like, but, you know, look, time has passed, so don't act like I don't have remorse, because that's not the case. And she's like, okay, well, no, basically. I will not go. She's like, I want to support her, but what she did will never sit well with. Okay, like, what are the... How long does this last for Monique? I guess forever, right?
Well, I don't think forever. I think they just, like... I think probably what annoys them is that Monique is now saying, I want you to see how much I've grown by coming to my show. And it's like, girl, it's only been 2 weeks. I mean, like, I can barely grow my fingernails in that time, okay? So, like, it's, well,
I guess
it's only
been
a week.
It would be like me saying, Ben, I owe you an apology. So to apologize, come to my cabaret.
Exactly. That's what it is. That's why it still feels like a little insincere, right? And then she's like, I mean, I'm a person who's made mistakes, and I want these women to give me a chance. Let me show you what I've learned. Let me show you my growth, you know? And she's like, but like, I get that, and I think that's totally fair to feel that way. But like, maybe do it over dinner and not in an event where you're essentially leveraging your co-stars to, you know, raise the profile of your podcast show.
I mean,
you know?
I guess, but if you want to see how much I've grown, I'm going to need a microphone in my hand, okay? I've grown my range. Fish gotta swim, birds gotta fly.
People could just look at, you know, what I'm giving to Goodwill with my old pant sizes. Then they'll see how much I've grown.
Your skinny jeans.
Yeah.
So now we go next...
Business Gate.
Yes.
Which is...
What is Business Gate?
Business Gate is the home of Eva Laura, the life coach to Karen and Ray.
Oh, it's like her office... Is her office complex called Business Gate? That sounds like a scandal happening at Lisa Vanderpump's restaurants. Business, business, business gate. Envelope, envelope gate.
Yeah, pretty much. So, Karen and Ray go to a life coach because Ray doesn't want to see a therapist. So he's going to go, but he's okay with going to a less licensed version. So he's going with a little hat to see Eva Laura. Ray, very off-brand hat for him. It wasn't quite a fedora. I don't know what sort of hat it was, but it was definitely, it showed that he's definitely going through some emotional issues because now he's experimenting with hats.
No, he's said it with his words a million times. He said, I just want to fucking retire. Please. Can we please just let me retire? That's all I want to do. And they won't listen. So now he's taking it out on his clothes. That is total retirement hat. That's the hat you buy when you're like, I'm rich and I don't have to do shit. And I'm certainly not apologizing for my hat, sir.
That's true. So Eva Laura wants to help them improve their marriage, and Ray's like, well, you know, I'm working on my third retirement, and Karen's blossoming into new business ventures. So listen, I think that's great. I think it's great that you're on your third retirement. Also, I don't understand why you're on your third retirement. Like, I feel like the first retirement means that's like the retirement, right? So something's up, Ray, that you are now on your third one. So I guess this is my way of just trying to say that don't be mad at Karen because you've had to retire 3 times.
Yeah. And he's like, she used to be Ray Huger's wife, and now I'm Karen Huger's husband. It's a different dynamic. Where is my sea bass? And Ava's like, well, guess what? It's a new season, okay? It's year 23. It's not year two. And we do things differently now, okay, Ray? Women go to work, okay?
Excuse me, lawyers. Did you know that we're on season 23 of this show? Do I still have the same contract, lawyers?
When is someone going to tell Giselle how to dress? One season. We've been on three times as long as Cheers.
Well, being on a 23-year-old show, I'm practically the Simpsons of reality TV at this point. It's an honor.
So she's like, well, you know, it's a new marriage for us now. The demand has shifted, and we have to make it sustained. We don't have kids anymore. It's empty nest. Richard Dreyfuss is gone. What should we do? So she's like, you know, I'm working on it, but Ray doesn't think he has to do a thing. And he's like, well, she has to make herself available to work on the marriage.
Yeah, and then he says that Karen used to always be the aggressor when they got married, you know, because she was at home and she was a housewife, if you will. And what else does she have to do beyond the house and me? Women, they're so simple.
And she's like, Ray, do you hear yourself? And she's like, yeah, but we've also got to talk about business challenges. Because Ray, you know, she says it in a very nice way, but she's like, the third retirement is because Ray has gone broke three times and I have to keep saving our asses. So maybe, you know, a thank you would be nice.
Yeah. And she's like, I held things down. And she's like, I don't need an accolade for that. Although I will take an accolade for many, many other things, like being iconic. That being said, at the same time, when your woman stands by your man, I would expect a man at some point to say, thank you for soldiering up.
And he's
soldiered,
like,
soldier.
Thank you for soldiering up. She's like, that's all I needed to hear. Exactly what I wanted. Just repeated. Thank you, Ray. Thank you. Thank you, Ray.
Thank
Everything's
you, Ray,
fixed now, Doctor.
Did you see the way he clasped my hand so gently and without emotion? Wow, I felt it.
And she's like, the doctor or the life coach is like, okay, well, you know what? It sounds like you guys are willing to work things out and you want tools. And guess what? I've got a lot of tools. And Karen's just like, better not be a vibrator. I don't do that. How many times do I need to say on this show? I said it in season 5, and I'll say it in season 23. I do not need vibrators.
Oh, tools. That reminds me of the gardening set I got when I was planning to spend my retirement growing little vegetables somewhere, and now here we are.
Soldier up, Ray.
Those tomatoes can wait.
So now we go to Wendy's house, where her boys are, of course, just like running around. And like one of them is wearing, I don't know what you call that baby thing where it's like, I know it has a name, I just can't remember. It's like a mat, but it also has like a little arch. It's like two little arched things, and there's like things that dangle from it, you know, and the baby lies under it and it's like, ah, you know. So the boy is like wearing it as a cape, which is so funny. I love that kid.
And she's giving her kids droplets of her breast milk because they want some too. Which, I don't know. It's a weird scene. I mean, look, I don't have babies, obviously. I'm not used to people wanting my breast milk. But if you offer me yours, you better have some Fruity Pebbles to back that shit up. Okay?
Yeah. And she like gives it like a tincture. She's like has like little drops that she literally gives them. You know, so they have a palate. And so so then they like go running off to like, you know, knock over vases and stuff. And in the meantime, Wendy... Now, why did I write this? I said, Wendy's on the phone with Wendy. I don't think that she's on the phone with Wendy. Unless she's having, like, a introspective scene.
No, she's on the phone with Giselle, my belle. She wants to invite her to Wine with Wendy, where we talk about women, pressing issues, wine, women, and pressing issues. And I'm inviting all the ladies, except Monique, because this is supportive of women that I approve of. Since support for women, I approve of. Wine with Wendy. Thank you.
Now, I'm very disappointed in Wendy, hugely disappointed, mainly because she seems like a very smart woman. She seems very bright, and this all makes me upset. And, of course, what I'm referring to is the fact that she has a sign that says blessed on her counter. I was like, Wendy, come on. I expect a lot more from you.
Well, if it helps you, I'm sure it's blessed. Like, hashtag blessed.
Lisa doesn't say caliente.
Yes, there's that. Or kitchen. I mean, that's the worst one. That's the worst one we've ever seen. Didn't Gina have one that says kitchen?
I think so. Just in case, like, she got a little confused in her house, you know. Not an issue anymore, but, you know.
Those signs are still huge sellers. They're still at Home Goods all the time, and it cracks me up. I love the laundry one, too. It's like, thank God you told me. I was trying to make toast in this thing.
So Wendy's having this gathering of women, and so now she's inviting, so she invites Giselle, and then she calls up Candace, and Candace is like, chow, I am currently affixing my wig to my forehead. Oh, no, it's not my wig, it's my paper, it's my tissue square, that's it. Sorry, I'm wearing a tissue square to the event.
She's going to get stuck wearing just multiple tissue squares on her head for the next month. So she invites her, and she's like, how are you? I'm just checking in. Candace is like, I'm taking it by the hour. I have many panic attacks. Like, what can possibly happen next? I mean, there have just been so many lies.
The other day it was really windy and I left the window open. All my post-its just flew right off the walls. I don't know if I'm okay anymore.
Yeah.
I literally have no idea.
Candace now shooting in a wheelchair and a body cast. You know, I don't know how I can ever survive this.
She's hosting a telethon for herself. But she's saying that there's been so many lies and untruths on social media that have all come from Monique's camp, you know, and then things are not great with Karen either. You know, Karen is backpedaling and, you know, Karen told Candace initially, well, yeah, I would press charges, but now she's backpedaling. I'm like, well, it's Karen. That's what she does. She literally, like, if you ever saw her get onto a tricycle, she goes in the wrong direction every single time. She does nothing but backpedal, okay?
It's good for the back of your thighs.
I soldiered up for this tricycle.
So Wendy's like, well, I hope that Wine with Wendy will be a space for you to let your tear napkins down so we can love and respect you. Like you should be loved and respected. And she's like, well, I don't want to ruin your event, but I will be pulling Karen aside. Dun, dun, dun. Nice try. So we'll good luck. Good luck with that one.
Seriously.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
So now we go to Angel and Adore's school, where Giselle picks up Jamal, and he just sort of like hops into the car. And then they're driving to the airport. He came into town because there was something happening at the school. He wanted to see the kids. And so Giselle's saying how, I don't feel good about long distance. I have moments when it's kind of tough. It's very tough on me. And Jamal's just sitting there like a lump, just like waiting probably to text some trick on the side, you know?
Yeah. And Giselle's like, well, you know, I'm happy for Robin, but it makes me realize what I just don't have. So she's like, look, I miss you, but the only option is we just don't continue down this road, but I'm not into that option. So in all serious, and he's like, well, your battle cry was you needed to protect. I had to write this whole thing down because the way he speaks is hilarious. He's so full of shit. Never date anybody, let alone marry somebody who talks like this. It's ridiculous.
Yes, thank you.
He's like, well, your battle cry was you needed to protect your space. And your priority was safeguarding your individuality. And that was your singular priority. Was it you didn't want to lose? And then he does Shannon Bedore hands. because who can follow this sentence? And she's like, yeah, I didn't want to lose myself in you. And he's like, yes. So I've been intentional not to infringe on that. Shut up. Sorry. Who talks like that? Say you said you wanted your space, so I was giving you your space. Whenever someone starts talking to you like they're starring in The Vow, run.
Yeah, exactly. And notice that he's putting it all on her, right? Like he's, well, you said you wanted space. Well, it wasn't even that. She said you want to be protected or whatever. And I don't know. Listen, he is, I don't care who he's got fuckboy mentality. Okay, we see it a lot on Bravo and we're seeing it right here with Jamal. And that now he's giving this whole business, trying to make it seem like it's her fault. And then he says this, he's like, well, we're both different now and don't want to assume anything. Because he sort of has like a sort of a strange kind of like, da, da voice. And he's like, your progression of thought is a new entity. That you have not introduced until 90 seconds ago. I'm like, no, He's like, I've been waiting on you all this time. I was waiting on you. No, Jamal, you weren't. Okay, you were not waiting. You were just one foot in, so you can get that in, like that help with Arizona's, and one foot somewhere else.
Yeah, your progression of thought is a new entity that you had not introduced until 90 seconds ago. Get the fuck out of that car, okay?
Seriously.
Get out of that car. So she's like, well, you know, I don't express myself often, so I'm glad that I did that. And he goes, I know, it's the hermit and the crab. Now, what does that mean?
What does that mean?
I had to look it up. Okay, do you want to hear? Oh, I thought it made a link. Hold on, I'm going to tell you what I found.
I know about hermit crabs.
Well, yeah, hermit crab, right? Obviously, that's the only thing that really came up. And I was like, well, there has to be something about the hermit and the crab, so I looked it up. Okay, hermit crab. Someone who stays at home, never venturing out. Okay, I get that. Someone in their shell. Hermit crab, where a single person lies in bed, passes gas, and then pulls the covers over one's own head to enjoy their own essence.
What? It's like the hermit and the crab.
Okay, hermit crab again, because there is no hermit crab. So it says a sexual position in which the Mona wraps her legs around the man's hips like a tool belt. The man picks up the woman and power bombs her, tightening her up like a hermit crab.
Tightening her up like a hermit crab. Is that like something that hermit crabs are known for, tightening up?
I don't know, but I was cracking myself up.
I think Jamal's whole thing, his whole MO, is that he takes two-word concepts and he puts an and in between them and tries to make it seem like it's some sort of like age-old story that we should all know. You know,
it's like he's like, you know, it's like the soda in the desk.
It's like the, of course, I can't think of anything that has two words in it. I'm like,
it's like the it's like the curtain in the television.
It's like the table and the lamp. It's like the chain and the saw. The old story about the chain and the saw.
Oh, it's like the construction paper, you know? It's like the construction of the paper.
The paper. You know the story about the construction and the paper, right? It's like the aloe and the vera.
Okay. So let's get to Monique's live podcast. We played this place. Love it.
Did we play City Winery in D.C.?
Oh, no, in Atlanta. But it looks like the one we played. No, the dressing room I thought was the same. They even used that same green.
I know. I felt the same way, too. I saw it. I was like, yay, it's City Winery. Memories. I was like, oh, we've never been to this one. But they're all pretty much the same. They have that same vibe. They're very classy and fun. We have great shows there.
Yeah, I was just thinking, all I thought was French fries when I saw that place. I was like, can't wait to get the French fries.
Now, we've been wondering how Monique spent $200,000 on a live podcast, and I'm starting to get the sense that she rented out City Winery, because that's crazy that she spent $200,000. And when we're there, we see that she's like, there's like a jazz band, she has all these panelists, she's got her gift bags. I'm like, girl, just show up and talk. This is crazy.
Why yeah, she's a got a full band? Orchestra, like, warming up. Trumpet player.
She's like pyrotechnics.
Yeah, you know? Second line. A tap dance crew that's going to come out.
What is happening, Monique? This is too much.
The children from Karen's behind the backyard twirling around on rings.
Yes. So Monique's backstage and she's with the panelist moderator and she says, you know what, we're not going to talk about the physical altercation, which I think is funny because I like when people feel the need to be super formal about things to make themselves seem mature. Be like, we're not going to talk about the physical altercation. Just say it's a fight. We're not going to talk about the fight. It's okay. You can say that, Monique.
Yeah, you can ask me about anything but the physical altercation. And Poe, who's the lady who's going to run the audience stuff, is like, okay, we'll see about that.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So so Ashley is there because she just wants to support a friend. But Karen can't make it because she's sick, which is, I think this is pretty in line with what Karen does with events, right? I mean, how many times has she called in sick? What was it? Remember Robin's event that she had two or three years ago? That was like their big beef for the longest time, that Robin had a luncheon at like a diner and Karen didn't show up.
The diner at the Domino's pickup window. Oh, so Ashley's like, well, everybody else is turning their backs on her, but I'm not one to jump on the bandwagon. Hi, it's me, Karen. Sorry, I'm on a bandwagon now. Can't really make your event. I hope it goes well.
Ah, the age-old story of the band and the wagon.
So Monique's like, well, look, I appreciate you coming. I got a text from Karen at 6:30 this morning saying she's not feeling well, you know, which sucks because I went to her thing and I was like 100 months pregnant, for Christ's sake, but whatever.
Yeah. And then Monique again is doing this thing about how she wants people to see where she's at now. I'm like, Monique, it's really only been 10 days. It's only been 10 days. Okay. And, people shouldn't have to like get dressed up to have to understand your growth.
Yeah, they shouldn't have like a 2-drink minimum. Yeah. There should be no food and beverage minimum to watch you grow. But yeah, I think Karen should have at least come, you know?
She should have, of course.
So Wendy's like, well, Wendy, the ladies are telling us why they're not there. And Wendy's like, well, I don't think that it's time to pay her any mind until she proves that she knows how to act right.
Mm-hmm.
And Robin's like, 2 weeks isn't long enough to learn a lesson. So then Monique's like, yeah, they want to see that you've changed, but they won't show up to see it. I mean, how else am I supposed to show that I've changed without a moderator that I hire? Come on.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, I think that the crux of it is that by attending the event, they are tacitly supporting Monique's business, etc., which... it's like, that's like a big, it's not just that they're there to see how she's grown. And how are they supposed to see how she's grown if she's up on stage talking to a moderator, you know? So it's just all sort of
I figured maybe she would have said something like, you know, recently I got into it and I realized that that's not the way to be. She would have said something in the show maybe to make the ladies, I don't know, to like take it to another level so they'll listen to her apology. I don't know. Well, that's what I was thinking she was going for.
Opened with that. Yeah, with that and then invite them rather than invite them and then be like, well, they're not coming, so they can't see how much I've grown. It's like, admittedly, I don't know how much she has to grow or not grow, but I just think that like linking her personal growth with wanting to get her friends in the audience, so that way it'll do better on social media probably. I don't know. It's not a smart idea.
So Ashley's like, well, you know, you did say that you feel bad about taking it to that level. And she's like, yeah, I mean, Candace, yeah, she's always antagonizing, but did she deserve to get physically attacked? No, I guess not. She didn't. And Ashley's like, I'm so proud of you. And, you know, the legal element, I mean, Candace said, Karen, what would you do in my shoes? And Karen said, oh, well, I would press charges. And Monique is just hearing this for the first time. So she's like, what? She said that.
Yeah, exactly. And then Ashley's like, well, Karen pushed the domino. It's right. This whole process of Candace pressing charges, and she can't say she's staying out of it if she's giving that sort of advice. I'm like, I don't think Karen really pushed the domino. I think Dorothy is the main domino queen right over there. I think Dorothy is just like walking over, kicking dominoes in every direction. And Karen just, you know, I think Karen just says stuff. It's just Karen.
Yeah, Karen tries to ride the fence, I think.
Yeah.
So Monique's like, well, you know, she's like, I want to have a very intimate discussion. So let's have a Q&A, everybody. So the podcast starts with the Q&A. And the first thing Poe asks is, so, Monique, tell us the current state of you and Candace's relationship. And Monique looks so pissed.
But she doesn't get into a fight. She's grown.
I've grown. So she's like, well, I'm not going to talk about the physical altercation. Let's just say, pray for us. Okay. Pray for us. How about that?
Everyone's like, I think I'd like to use my prayer somewhere else.
Yeah, I bought $30 nachos to hear that.
Exactly. So then we go over to a bowling alley where Juan and Robin are with the kids, and Kathy and Jimmy is their waitress, and they get some pizza.
And the bowling alley is called Mustang Alleys, which is so funny. So then Robin makes Juan's, I mean, I love it. I'm sorry. I love a good bowling alley name. So Robin names Juan Wonderful on the scorecard. And he's like, wow, you just clowned me. Really? Really, Robin?
I didn't even notice that. That's funny. I was wondering what they were talking about. I assumed it had something to do with bowling balls.
No, you have to name each other on the scorecard. He's like, oh, you just clowned me.
Wonderful. So,
They order basically my diet in quarantine: wings, fries, and cheese pizza. Minus the wings. I don't eat those. But fries and cheese pizza. God, I'm just hungry. We've said Domino's also about 10 times during this recap so far. Don't think escaped me.
So they're there at the Domino's bowling alley. And so Robin's like nervous because she hasn't talked to her parents about the fact that she owes lots of money for her taxes. And she's worried that her parents are going to scold her because, you know, she's like, well, it doesn't matter how old you are. You just always have your parents in the back of your head, you know, just like, you know, scolding you. And I'm just like imagining Leon Locken watching this show and just getting so triggered. Like, oh yeah, you want to talk about a mom yelling at you? How about a mom that wasn't there? How could she yell at you if she's not there, mother?
How about if your mother was trying to scold you as she drove away?
Hard to get scolded when you're holding three torches over your head and a knot's been thrown at your ears, huh?
So the parents come and they're just over it, you know. I think they have the look of any parent at that stage in life where it's just like, what? Like, seriously, I have Instagram. Did I have to pretend to bowl to hear this? So they talk about taxes, and the dad's like, well, at least you're paying it. You know, you didn't run off to Guatemala or something. So good for you. I'm proud of you, honey. And then she goes to the bathroom, and Juan's like, kids, come here. Come here, kids. Everyone needs to be here for this, which I thought was kind of weak. Because you're talking to Robin's parents asking for Robin's hand in marriage, and like you're using the kids as a shield, you know?
Yeah,
the parents have
no.
to be free to say, listen, you fucking treated my daughter like crap and cheated on her, and I need you to promise you're not going to do that again.
Yeah, I agree. I felt that way. I felt very strongly about that. I thought that was not fair. I thought it was not fair that the parents got dragged to bowling alley, and I thought it was not fair that then they couldn't really speak their mind. I mean, because we saw what happened when Giselle with her dad, when she brought Jamal to her dad, and he was like, as long as you're happy, I'm happy. Now, excuse me while I walk off camera, where surely I can express my feelings freely and without any issues.
Yeah. So he has the kids there. So the parents are like, okay.
Yeah, and the kid is equally bored. The kid doesn't even care that they're getting back together. He's like,
yeah. So then we go to Peppa Flame, and this is Wendy's event.
Yeah, wine with Wendy specifically, and Wendy is bringing together women to let them know that their voices matter and are needed. And so Karen shows the women are all showing up. I don't know why I always write down who's arriving when. They all show up. Karen's
there. I literally
there.
Wrote, stop it, because that's what I was doing too. It's like, Karen comes, double kisses. Ashley comes, just a hug. Stop it. What are you doing?
Just a hug. Wow, you really got in there. And then Candace arrives. So when Candace shows up, we get the classic camera shot of like the asphalt and like a foot coming out of the car. And she's got these crazy shoes on that have, I don't know, are those peacock feathers? What, there was some sort of feather in her shoes that were
so.
Well,
they were
totally
kind of
ridiculous.
Like cream colored, so I don't think they were peacock, but maybe dyed. I mean, I don't know, but they were big. They were some big Hobby Lobby feathers, you know? They're like those big feathers that you put in a vase.
She needs to fire her gay, basically. Like, this is unacceptable. It was ridiculous.
Well, she's so traumatized still. Now she gets scared of anybody, she could just pull her ankles up.
She can try to fly away by flopping her feet, and then
she can do some wings and fly away.
It's sort of like Vegas showgirly. So then Giselle's wearing this like bloody looking, like, you know, last week I think I said that someone's top looked like tripe. This is Giselle's also maintaining the tripe tradition. It's like very ruffle intestine-y.
It's red bloody. And spiky. I think she looks like COVID. I think she's dressed like a ball of COVID.
And then Robin comes in with a crazy wig. I don't know why this was the event that Robin decided to have a crazy wig, but it was this is what she chose.
Yeah, that's Robin's second half of the season. She's just going to wear different wigs and try and find something that works. And so far, I haven't really landed on that. Okay, but you know, keep trying. You keep trying. Yeah. So Candace sees her wig and she tells us, are you hiding from the IRS? Just pay your taxes.
Yeah, she's like, yeah, Karen goes,
It's not a good look. This week is not to be repeated.
And Candace, or who says this? Someone says, oh, Candace again. She goes, Candace. Just burn it. She goes, just burn it. And I'm sure it will melt because she is synthetic.
Yeah. So Wendy starts leading discussion about policy issues, and it's all good. It's all very, you know, it's a nice scene talking about, you know, turning your voices into power, becoming aware of the programs that are available to women of color, etc. And then she does some role playing where she's acting as if she's just like a government bureaucrat, and someone in the audience is trying to, you know, pretend to apply for something or whatever. And, you know, we just sort of see like real stuff for a moment.
Yeah. Basically, like how to talk to your politicians and ask them for what you want for, and then they try to back out of it. And so you compromise, you know, but you stick to your guns and you compromise. Most basically, it was Juan in the jewelry shop. So then it's over, and I was like, man, I need to go to this kind of political event, because the first thing you see as it ends, it's like applause and a gigantic martini is delivered.
Yeah, and like huge plates of catfish. So Candace pulls Karen to go downstairs to have a chat, and then in the meantime Giselle is there, and she's like, oh, to be in a room of beautiful black women who want to see change is amazing. So let's talk about Karen and Ray.
Yeah, she's like, the other day I saw Wendy, and she said Karen drank a lot and put up half her money to save Ray. And they're like, whoa. Everyone's like, whoa. So they're gossiping about Karen, you know, saving their ass or whatever. And Wendy comes up to get in the conversation, and Wendy's like, so... you think she's going through something? I mean, what could she possibly be going through? And Ashley's like, well, Karen knows who she is when she's drinking. So if she said that to you, she did it on purpose. I think she's it's a cry for help. It's a cry for help.
Yeah. And Giselle says, well, I just really want to be a friend to Karen. That's all. That's why I'm going to pry for information. Because I want to be a friend.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's Giselle just trying to be a good person all the time. So yep. Then downstairs, there's another bar downstairs. Love this place. Want to rent it. Yeah. I love a bar in every room. So downstairs, yeah. Bar. Karen is like, so how are you, baby? And Candace is like, well, I'm going to therapy, and I'm still trying to figure out my emotions. Hold on. I think there's a dog coming. And she lifts up her ankles and hides behind it. Okay, we're clear. Now, we have to address the elephant in the room. You have made excuses, you have coddled, and you are choosing sides.
No. Well, what I hear, what I need to hear from you is that you understand that what Monique did was wrong. And so Karen has like her big monologue. She goes, well, one thing I know about you, Candace, is that you are brilliant. Your mind is so powerful, but so is your mouth. And I'm insulted that you continually return to say that I should be against Monique. Let me tell you, young woman, that I coddled you a year ago. I protected you a year ago. I had your back. Some would say I soldiered up. When I was holding you down, I didn't agree with what you said or did to others, and I'm doing no more than that for my friend Monique. Monique did a horrific thing, and I told her she needed help, and I would walk away with her hand in hand. And if the shoes were reversed and didn't have feathers on them, I would do the same thing for you.
And everyone's like, woohoo, that was the best podcast you've ever done, Monique. And she tells her, as much as I could be a loving big sister and auntie to you, I will not be told what to say or think. Thank you. And so then upstairs, everyone's eating. And Wendy's like, so Candace's lawyers reached out to Monique. And Giselle's like, well, you know what bothered me about Monique is she said she hasn't gotten sleep and she's been taking care of the children. And Wendy's like, oh, please, come on, Ashley, you just had a baby. Have you had sleep? Who did you fuck up?
Yeah. And Ashley's like, no. But she does this whole thing where she starts talking about how, like, last year when Michael was going through his stuff, you know, Monique and Chris, they could have had a moment with that. They could have tried to, like, basically say they could have tried to have a storyline or, like, made a scene about it and, like, embarrass them. But they didn't. And that shows their integrity. And Wendy's like, they're all like, but you said that he didn't do anything. And she's like, yeah, but she could have lied. And she didn't lie. And Wendy's like, It shows their integrity that they didn't lie. Like, you're not supposed to show, you're not supposed to lie. Like, you don't get, like, integrity points just because you do the normal thing, the normal right thing.
Yeah, but at the same time, she's a season one housewife, and she doesn't understand yet, like, how nasty these people can be, and, like, anybody on a reality show can be. And it does show integrity not to, like, jump on the bandwagon when everybody's trying to come for one person or one character.
Well, I think it revealed more about the way Ashley works than it did about Monique, right? I think it showed that, like, what, you know, like, if the shoes were switched, you know, maybe what Ashley might do, you know, if she were the one in control of a recording, that might potentially incriminate one of her cast members.
Maybe, but yeah, I think she's just saying, like, look, she could have jumped on the bandwagon with all of you, and she didn't. So I'm not gonna, like, sit here and turn on her the second, you know, it becomes convenient to stay on your all side when you guys just all betrayed me. So what the hell?
Yeah.
So Ashley's like, yeah, they should give her a chance. And I agree. Like, how long is this going to go on? You know, this is the second event filmed in a row by Wendy. This is Wendy's second event in a row that she's cut Monique out of filming. And that's very, like, later season housewife.
I know. I was going to say it's a power move. She's like, I am here on this cast. But I agree. I mean, I don't know how much longer they need to hold Monique out to dry. I suspect that maybe there is more to it. I suspect that since there is this case going on, Bravo is probably like, you can't be, like, mixing and matching, like, with Monique right now. But I don't know. That's just conjecture.
Yeah. So then downstairs, Candace is like, well, she has been proud. She has been boastful. And her friends are posting pow with fists, and she's liking it. Okay. You know what, Candace? Like, you're not wrong again. And just again, because we have to say it at least once to recap, just so people don't get confused. I'm not saying it was okay for her to get hit or whatever. But Candace acts like she's so innocent, and especially when it comes to this Twitter stuff. Like, how dare she say things on Twitter? Have you seen half the shit Candace says on Twitter? She's homophobic. Yeah. She's been fatphobic. She's a Candace is a fucking monster. So for Candace to sit here and act like, oh my God, I'm so innocent. No one should have hit you, but you need to stop. Like, please. You were just held back last season by your own husband, like, waving, you know, throwing butter knives and waving your hands around trying to get at somebody. Like, let's stop.
Exactly. Exactly. So then Wendy, like, tries to join their conversation, and Karen's like, oh, Wendy, well, I'm just sitting here. I'm seeing my sister hurt, my sister's sitting here hurting, and it's not only the physical, she's going to therapy. I can only imagine what that's like, but unfortunately, Ray chooses to go to Business Gate for his emotional learning.
Ray is so embarrassed for her. And Wendy's like, well, I just want her to say that, you know, I didn't like Candace and took it out. Wait, what? I have word jumble, like, here. I don't know what
her,
I wrote.
Her issue is like, listen, I just want Monique to say, I don't like Candace, and I took my anger out on her. But instead, she keeps saying that she was reacting. Like, Monique keeps saying, well, someone threw a drink on me. And so she really feels like Monique is not being accountable.
Yeah, and she said there was no drink thrown on her. Yes, there was. There's footage of a drink being thrown on her. I think it was after this happened. Yeah. So I get the point that it still doesn't matter because she was the one who initiated the fight part of it.
Yeah.
But still, there was a drink thrown on her. So Karen's like, well, something is medically wrong with Monique. Medically wrong awakenings. Robert De Niro came awake for 5 minutes to tell me something is medically wrong.
And I will stand neutrally with her until I hear the medical reports. No further questions right now. No further questions. I must get to my car.
Until I hear from Fauci, I will stay where we stay. And Wendy's like, there is nothing wrong with her. And when she, you know, if she blacked out, then when she came to, why did she run around the barn screaming that she's going to kill somebody?
I'm sorry, I have not received a fax from the CDC yet, so I cannot comment on this sort of medical behavior.
Wear a mask, stay inside.
So Candace is like, you know, she has expressed and shown to us that she has the capability to be violent in the past, and this is not new. Monique has lied to you. She's leaking information to blogs, and she's lied. I'm like, okay. Like, now they're making Monique out to be this super violent person. Candace, you were the one with the butter knife. Don't forget the butter knife, okay? Yeah.
So Wendy's like, there is no middle ground in this. Mind your own business already. Like, I get that you're standing up for your friend, but they went away to have a private conversation, and then you came down to tag team with Candace. Like, this is not even your business. So Candace is like, well, you know, she's violent. And Karen's like, well, while I respect your opinion, Wendy, that is just your opinion. She's like, but she's wrong, Karen. She's like, well, you want me to choose a side and totally abandon Monique, and I will not do it.
As educated as you are, you sound very ignorant. How educated are you, by the way?
Yeah, so
do you know how to read medical reports?
Was it part of your education to wait for medical examiners to examine a body before you made a decision on who killed them, Mark Hellenberger?
Yeah. Oh, she says that to Wendy, by the way. And so Wendy's like, I don't sound ignorant, baby girl. I'm speaking facts, okay? And then Candace is like, girls, I don't want to further divide the group. I don't want to. Okay, Candace. I love that. You know, just like lighting fires and be like, no, I don't want to divide the group. No, not me.
Yeah. And Karen's like, well, I apologize for going left in this present moment, but I will not be budget. And she goes up the stairs and Candace is like, I am so hurt. And Karen doesn't leave yet because Candace tells her, well, Karen, I am hurt. She goes, well, I'm hurt as well. And she goes, yeah, but I was the one who was hurt because I was attacked. Oh, my God.
Well, I was hurt because I was told certain medical reports would be made available and they have not been, Dr. Fauci.
And she's like, I think of all the times I defended Karen. Maybe I should have just shut up because I do not like this. Like, I think that in the defense department, Karen was way more helpful to you than you were to her.
Yeah. When did you defend Karen again? Just remind me. Remind me. I mean, I'm sure it's there. I just don't remember.
Yeah, I don't really remember either, to be honest. But so that's it.
That is it. We'll be back mañana to discuss Below Deck Med, their next reunion episode. And we also have an announcement tomorrow, so stay tuned for that. And we got a big week because we have Great British Bake Off on Wednesday. We got Orange County on Thursday. And we have Southern Charm on Friday. So we'll see how this goes.
The return of Southern Charm. Southern Smarm comes back to
the Southern Smarm. Yeah, wish us luck. But we're recapping it. Gosh darn it.
Yep. Well, we'll see you guys tomorrow.
Bye, everyone. Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela. Mitchells.
Let's run some errands with Emily Ahrens.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
Hava Nagila Weber.
Jamie, she has no less namey.
Sip some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
Just saying, okay. Higher than high res, she's Lauren Perez.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
You don't touch the Nicky Morgan letters.
One day you're Rachel Zinn, the next day you're out.
He makes us squee, Richie D.
Janin better than Kyle Richards.
The Bay Area Betches, Betches.
And our super premium sponsors.
Nancy Cease and Desisto.
Let's rev our pistons for Amanda and Kristen.
Better than Tabbouleh, it's Annie and Julie.
Let's give them a kissa, it's Austin and Marissa.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
We will, Joanna Rockland you.
The incredible edible Matthews sisters.
The Wyndham beneath our wings, it's Joe Wyndham.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender.
Lordess, the Lordess of the Rings.
No one makes us feel well like Megan Cap Sewell. Mina Coochie Coochie Coochie.
Give him hell, Miss Noel. Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Let's get racy with Miss Stacy.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kuchar. We love you guys.